Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, it's not Steve, it's Becky Brown, and I'm so glad you're here today. I just love our listening audience, and I know that my co-hosts today are just as much in love with our listening audience. It's Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Jim Burns. Hi, how are you guys?
Hey.
Hey there. And you're right. I have grown, I'm the newbie here, but I really have grown to love this listening audience. They're pretty great people, and they have great questions, and they're trying to improve their life emotionally, spiritually, relationally. And I love that they're willing to come and get our input.
And that you
Me
folks,
too.
You folks who call will be so humble and courageous in laying your life out for us to help you and to allow the audience to hear what's going on. It really ministers to so many more people than you could imagine. We're so grateful for you callers.
Yes, and I am one of those. And I've listened to so many calls over the years, and it has impacted my life. And, you know, one of the calls that we continually get, and we're going to probably have some of those today, are from parents of adult kids who aren't exactly lining up the way that they thought that they were going to when they were little. I mean, I'm sure you have recalled some of those calls that we've had, but Jim, I know that this is a big part of your ministry and about a big part of your work, but you know, I'm sure Alice, you've worked with folks like this too, and I just wonder, what can we offer the parents when their families are just not what they expected? I think that's an easier way to put it, because there's all different kinds of ways that it just didn't turn out the way that you thought. What can we offer those parents and those families for reconnection?
Yeah, one of the things I would say is that really good parents oftentimes have kids who make some poor choices. We can't blame ourselves for all of that. That wasn't totally the answer that wasn't your question, but I think parents have to hear that. But I think at each stage, for me personally, at each stage, like the adult stage, my wife said to me one time, wow, I didn't see this coming. I didn't see it going like this, you know? Well, sometimes you have to embrace the change, and I think it's a continual course correction. You know, they talk about, you know, when you're an astronaut, what are you doing? Well, we're doing course corrections. We're going to the moon, but we have to keep doing course corrections. I didn't realize there would be this drift in families as much, in my personal family, and we'd have to constantly make course corrections and then embrace some of the change, reinvent the relationship periodically. But it can
That's
be done.
Right.
That's the beauty of our relationship with God, is that God gives us new beginnings and new insight. And I love that, but I have to embrace that. You know, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And we have to be reminded of that sometimes when we're going through those tough times.
That's right. Alice, how about you? What have you seen, and how would you encourage those parents that are dealing with that?
I don't think we parents can make enough humble confessions of all the ways that we have also fallen short. Yeah. And so that when we're disappointed with our kids, we need to hold the fact that we've disappointed our own parents. We continue to make our own mistakes as well. And then when we address our children, going light on truth, because we do need to share, this is what the family values are, these are what my values are, but then we have to allow our children to choose those values or not. So go light on truth and heavy on grace.
Yeah, and you know, I think a lot of times we forget that we are in relationship with other adults that don't hold to our own values. Yeah. And so as our kids get to be adults, we are going to have to practice some of that same grace and space as they make choices that are not how we raise them. We're going to deal with our disappointment in other ways, as opposed to demand that they do what we raise them to do, and try to find a common ground somewhere so that we can reach out in love and stay connected. Because you know what? We have the biggest opportunity to offer help and hope if we stay connected. If we create division, you know, it's just going to be further and further apart, and then we're going to deal with that bitterness. I don't know about you guys, but it's not easy, but it is worth doing. And I hope that we can encourage you along that way. If that's part of your story, give us a call. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I just want to remind you that there are many different ways to listen. If you missed the show live on radio, you can also listen at YouTube. You can go to the New Life app, which is free. You can get it wherever you get your apps for your device. And you can also listen at newlife.com and listen to past shows. We often recommend people to go, if they've called in, to re-listen, because, you know, you hear something different every time you listen. But we're so grateful for all of you checking in and share the show with somebody. Right now, we're going to go to Edward, who's calling us from Woodbridge, Virginia, listens on WAVA. And how can we help you, Edward? We're glad you called.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling about my nephew. He's 20, and he's in college part-time and working part-time. He was going to a four-year university, but that flamed out pretty quickly. I kind of saw it coming, though. He is a procrastinator. His personality profile is a classic one that fits that. He got through high school by just being smart. His mother was very involved with keeping everything on track as far as calling teachers, asking for extensions, things like that. So he does procrastination for everything. He's a big-time gamer, of course, on the laptops, things of that nature. He's not a bad kid, pretty obedient, does things around the house and like that. But I'm trying to figure out how, and we looked at a bunch of articles on procrastination, but I'm just wondering how might counseling assist somebody who's struggling with that, and it's affecting grades and getting things done on a timely basis, even getting to work on time.
Well, it's a great question, Edward. You're a good uncle. Let's start with you, Alice. What would you like to offer Edward in this effort to help his nephew?
Edward, out of curiosity, which one of his parents is your sibling?
Sister.
The sister is. Okay. And is his father also involved in helping with this problem he's struggling with?
No, I like the father. He's a really nice guy, but he is hands-off on this. He is very involved as far as being a provider, spiritual head of the household, even involved the raising of all three of their kids, including him, the nephew is the oldest, but he does not want to engage in this process. He thinks he's going to grow out of it. So, me and him have talked about it a couple of times. He didn't have that challenge his own self, but in general, he's very laid back. So he doesn't have a lot of fire in general. He's the type of person that goes to work, checks the boxes, come home, but he doesn't want to confront the issue at all. So it's all left on my sister. So I don't want to get between them two, but he's just not really interested, and he just said, well, he'll grow out of it, he'll be okay, but he agrees with her on the fact that it's becoming an issue.
It's impressive that your nephew has accomplished so much and is respectful and helpful around the house, even with his procrastination, and you asked how would counseling help. I think it's very beneficial to look at possible routes to procrastination, because sometimes it's a laziness, it's a character flaw, and we all have our own character flaws that we need to identify and choose whether we're going to work on them or not. But procrastination can also be fueled by something like fear or anxiety or depression, and counseling will help unearth what might be exacerbating this surface-level behavior that you're seeing taking place in your nephew.
That's really great, Alice. Jim, how would you direct Edward in this?
Well, I was taking notes on Alice because I thought it was really good advice for you.
It was.
I'm going to go a different direction, not because I totally agree with what Alice just said. And I'm going to say one other thing. This is kind of my ADD kicking in. But sometimes when somebody is a procrastinator, it's possible that there could be a reason. Like, for example, you know, ADD, and what parents may want to do even at 20 is get that check just in case they have a hard time just focusing, and that could be the answer to the procrastination. Maybe so, maybe not. But a lot of times what I always say is get an assessment, then you know for sure. But let me go a different way. So actually, by flaming out, I think that was the word you used, of the four-year college, that's not a bad thing. You know, when kids flame out, they learned a lesson. And the lesson was, well, by procrastinating, I'm not going to get good enough grades to be in 4 years, so I'm going to go part-time here and I'm going to do work. And he's doing it. It's great, right? So I would say, for especially for your sister, here's the principle. You can't want it more than they want it. And so when your sister is making calls to ask, when he's an adult, making calls, can he get an extension on this? That's probably not helping him. It's like the 22-year-old mother of a 22-year-old who's calling for their pediatrician appointments, and that actually has irony on several levels, right? But the other thing I would say is your sister will want to learn tough love. Tough love isn't being mean. Tough love simply means allowing the consequences of procrastination or allowing the consequences of some poor behavior to follow in. I mean, then he's going to learn, right? So then maybe the dad's advice is right, that he's going to learn from this and then he's going to do better. It sounds to me like because he got flamed out in 4 years, he wasn't ready for that. To be in a school at part-time, work part-time, that may be the answer for him. But you really can't do it for him. Because if you do, he's not going to grow up and become a responsible adult. So, again, that's the direction I would just simply say is you can't bail him out. So we want to always bail out our kids. And if you bail him out, then he's going to procrastinate, not because he has a habit of procrastination, but, hey, he's got a good deal. His mom's going to make the call. So his mom's going to have to allow him sometimes to – and even if it means flaming out of this next thing, you learn from that. You have, Edward. I have from my experiences. And so sometimes we have to allow that process. And at 20, it's an interesting – is he a teen? Is he an adult? Well, legally he's an adult. He can vote. But he probably still has some latent adolescence going on in him too.
Yeah, I agree. And Edward, we're going to send you a copy of the Every Man's Bible to give to him. And I want to encourage you, just to connect with him, that this may not be the problem for you to resolve, but I love that you are interested and that you're invested and you guys are all talking about it because you want him to be successful. You want him to have a good life. Alice, were you going to say one more thing?
Well, if your sister does pull back on bailing him out, I'd encourage her to give him a warning and probably a week or two time period to say, I'm going to start pulling back and then I'm going to allow you to step up, because she may have habituated him to depend on her. Mm-hmm. So a little trial period and then releasing that responsibility to him, I think, would be helpful.
Yeah. And, Edward could become the mentor that maybe he doesn't have and say, hey, you know what? So I was a procrastinator. I've done some of this. Here's what I've learned. And all of a sudden now, this young man may be really open to that, especially with somebody as great as Edward, who's calling us and asking that kind of question, And sometimes sometimes the idea of a mentor, Edward, is not a bad deal. You're not taking over and you're not reparenting. You're just giving some good advice, man to man.
Right. And being present, too. I think procrastination, like you said, Alice, needs to be assessed, because it can be everything from perfectionism to being overwhelmed with all the responsibilities of not knowing how to move forward. There's lots of different reasons for that. But we're so glad you called, Edward. And you get Uncle of the Day.
Yay.
I just love that so much.
Way to go.
I'm not going to send you anything except for the book. But, I just want to prize you on that. But right now we're going to go to Megan, who's calling us from Austin, Texas, listens on SiriusXM. Hi, Megan. I'm so glad you called. How can we help you today?
Hi. Well, I have a question on how to deal with something. I go to a church, a very good church, and I have a best friend. Well, her sister-in-law is always poking at me, always has a seems like a one-up spirit toward me. I always try to be kind to her. Well, now her daughter-in-law has started to treat me bad as well. And I've talked to my husband about this, and I'm like, Lord, I've prayed about it. Lord, how do I respond? Do I continue to be a doormat for them being mean to me and rude to me all the time? And, it even it has kept me from going to certain groups, because they're there always. Their family is a big part of the church. I have been at the church for about 3 years. They grew up in the church. So it's just, it puts me in a hard spot. And that's my question. How do I stand up for myself and still be like Christ would have me to be?
Gosh, Megan, I hate this is happening to you, because, the church, the body of believers, we want to be better than that. But let's start with Alice and see what Alice would offer to kind of get you in the right direction.
Megan, I think that God takes a very strong stance on having us protect our hearts and call out evil when it is taking place. And Jesus gives the example of this. He certainly submitted to the suffering of the death on the cross and what took place in the trials before that. But there were many a time that he directly confronted evil, called it what it was, and separated himself from evil. And there are a couple steps that the Bible gives us. It tells us to confront the person one-on-one first, and then if necessary, we bring a witness for a secondary conversation. And if that behavior continues, then we separate ourselves from that person. And so I'd have you make a stab at those steps at a time that the problem is not taking place, and give the chance for this woman. She's a Christian. She supposedly has these beliefs, so give her a chance to be able to see her sin and hopefully repent of it.
That's great. Jim, what would you offer?
I'd suggest you go out to coffee with her, and not in the heat of the battle again, but you just say, gosh, I love our church and I love so much about it, but one of the things that's happening is I my feelings are hurt. And maybe I'm being overly sensitive, but when you say this, I want you to know how much that hurts, and I just wanted to put that on the table and see where she goes with that. I was in a situation where I had to say to somebody who was always teasing me, and I'm not that sensitive, to be honest, but it was getting over, and I just said, gosh, you hurt my feelings when you do that. And they go, oh, I didn't mean to. It's just my way of kind of showing love. And I go, well, it's not showing love to me. It makes me feel bad. And then what I really realized when I got inside that person's head was, you know the phrase, probably hurt people, right? So maybe there's maybe there's something going on with them, but you surely do not need to be present. And maybe you're making a good, if they're not safe for you, then it doesn't sound like it's a huge church, but if they're not safe, I wouldn't, just because your friend, because they're related to your good friend, you don't always have to be around those people either. But you may want to try it. Just simply, what does it hurt to have the coffee and see where it goes? I mean,
I did unfriend them on Facebook at one time because she was saying some nasty things on my post.
No.
You know, and then she asked me in front of people, like, why did you unfriend me? So, you know, I was like, well, you know, there were just a couple things that I didn't agree with. And then I friended her again, and it's happening again.
Yeah.
You know,
It doesn't sound like she's a safe person for you. And by the way, the coffee idea may not work, but at least then, I mean, in a really good way, you can say, at least here's how I'm feeling. Share your feelings with her.
Right.
And again, don't go tit for tat with her, but just share those feelings. And, you know, you try, you know, Jesus even gave an illustration, and it's not your situation, but he said sometimes you just have to, you know, clean the dust off your feet and move on. And, you know,
What I normally do with people, but she's in my close circle.
I
feel like the reason why God keeps presenting these people to me in my life, because I need to grow. So I just don't know where I need to grow.
Well, she doesn't need to be putting things on your Facebook that are negative. Her boundaries stink.
And Megan, to that point, yeah, you're right, Jim. That's very true. Megan, here's the thing. You know, social media has brought this whole other level of intrusiveness in our lives. And so it's okay for you to block her, and if she, or like not friend her, and just, you know, for the reason that you told her before, I think that's okay. I love what you just said, though, about your own growth process. Huh. And what I would encourage you to do is get into a life recovery group and just learn how to have those boundaries so that people like her, because there will be more people. I hate to tell you this. It's not because it's you, Megan. It's because
it's very hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I, you know, I just think a lot of times that's where our own healing can get to. And actually, we get to a place where we can actually help people, which seems so strange because it's the last person that you want to deal with. But I know that, you know, with your insight that you just had about, you know, maybe this is something I need to work on, God's going to give you that strength and that grace. I'm going to send you a copy of the Life Recovery Bible. And if you just begin doing those devotionals, you'll be amazed at how God will just heal that. And then all of a sudden, these kind of people, they just kind of fade into the woodwork because they can't trigger you. And you'll have an answer at the time that you need it. when they do things that are offensive or hurtful. Just like you said, Jim, when you told your friend, hey, that's not funny. It doesn't feel good. And, you know, you just kind of, you know, bring light into the situation. Any other thoughts, Alice or Jim? We can come back after the break, but we're so glad you called, Megan, and I hope that that will be helpful. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We've been talking to Megan about a situation with some friends, so-called friends at church, and I just wanted to see, Alice, Jim, do you have anything else that you want to offer to Megan in this healing process?
Well, I was going to say, we were talking about you, and for one thing, we think you're very likable. We just think you have this beautiful, likable voice, yep. Okay? Just tell you that right now. But, you know, I was telling Alice that in my life, because I've had some very draining people around me, that if I have I call them VDPs, very draining people. And these are the people that are just like, you know, the people who are hurting you in many ways. But we also have VIPs. And I find that if I'm in good relationships with some of my very inspiring people and I have these replenishing relationships, I can take on a VDP periodically. But if I don't have any safe, healthy relationships where we're in accountability and where we're talking and loving on each other and showing, you know, lots of grace and, you know, connection, it's really tough. So I don't know your situation, but I wouldn't jump into, you know, trying to save the every VDP if you're not also in a place where you have some, you know, very safe people that you can kind of talk through things and, you know, those very inspiring people.
Yeah, in that same group. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Do they say? Did they ever say anything to you? By the way, do they ever say, "Boy, she's tough on you"?
They have spoke up. Her sister-in-law has actually spoke up for me and told her, "Don't talk to her like that."
Yeah,
you know, or you know, and she's older than her, but she sees it and she knows my spirit. So I'm not going to speak up unless it's something that God has put on my heart.
Well, I think that's great, Megan. You know, you're talking about initials, Jim. I also heard of EGR. People, extra grace required. And so there are those people in our lives as well. But Alice, you get the last comment, and then we'll go.
Well, I think there are a couple of warning signs to look for, Megan, in ourselves that are telling us we've been too close to these people for too long, and we need to draw back at least for a time when we're feeling heartsick, when we're avoiding them, when we're passive-aggressive in our reaction to them, or when we are deceptive and we're starting to sugarcoat things or twist the truth. I've been guilty of all of these things, and they're my warning sign of I've been too close to this person. I'm too hurt, and I can't genuinely love them and care for them and minister to them. So we need a soul break, and then when we're revived, sometimes God asks us to go back in again.
That is such great advice, Alice. We're so glad you are here today for that. I'm writing those down.
So good. Me too.
We're going to talk to Janice, who's calling us from Washington, D.C., listens on WAVA. Hi, Janice. Thanks for waiting. How can we help you today?
Oh, thanks for taking my call. It's good to talk to you guys.
Yeah, you too.
I'll give you a little bit of background, and then I'll ask the question, and you guys can ask me any follow-up questions that you feel necessary. Does that sound good?
Yes, ma'am.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay. All right. Well, I was in a 12-year marriage to a VDP and a
VGR. Yes. They kind of go together, don't they?
All the letters.
It does. I've been divorced for 5 years, and my struggle is that I'm feeling very stuck, and I feel like I'm not able to move forward. I feel like I've lost myself, and I can't find my way back to myself. And I'm also finding that that I have a very hopeful nature, and I was very hopeful all through my marriage, hope just praying for things to get better. And now it's like I'm hopeful that the relationship with my ex could just at least be peaceful, and that hope is causing me a lot of hurt. And what are your suggestions on getting to the next level of that?
That's a great question, Janice. Jim, yeah. Alice, who wants to start?
Well, I would simply say, you know, you can work on your own self, but you can't work on your ex. And so your ex is probably going to keep, if they're not working on their own life, they're going to keep potentially disappointing you. So, you know, Janice, work on you. And and work on whatever those triggers are that are causing you to be stuck, and repair the past, and you got to move forward. And so repairing the past means, you know, be ruthlessly honest about your own brokenness, working through whatever, you know, some of those issues are. But the truth is we don't have to stay stuck. And the way to get unstuck a lot of times is to break through and actually have some more realistic expectations, especially when it comes to the divorce. You know, have some realistic expectations about, you know what, one of the reasons why we got a divorce is because of this, and why would I expect that to change? I'm not saying to be totally, you know, the downer on it, because honestly, people do change. That's why we're here. But you can't expect him to make those changes. You're going to have to, you know, change in some ways whatever you can, and then maybe you look at his issues differently. But to be honest, you may have to grieve the loss of the divorce, and that you'll never have the same kind of relationship that you had hoped for, even in, you know, the fact that now he's your ex instead of, you know, your husband.
Mm-hmm. Alice, how about you?
Janice, who did you lose before your husband that was significant to you?
My dad, but I had an amazing relationship with him. He died suddenly when I was 27. But he's really the only significant person in my life that I've lost in that manner.
I ask because your yearning and your hope are good and healthy things in and of themselves, but hope deferred, the Bible says, does make us sick. And so I wonder if there's actually some grief here about your dad that has resurfaced in the loss of your marriage, and working on that grief for your father might ameliorate and decrease some of this unhealthy yearning that you have for something that your ex-husband probably won't be able to give you unless he gets into his own structured help and does some character work.
Right. Well, and Janice, hold that thought. You think about that while we go on the break. But I love that perspective, Alice. We will be right back after this break.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with Janice, who is trying to recover from a loss of a marriage, but also what you just discovered, Alice. There was a previous loss. Do you want to speak more about that, Alice, at this point?
Well, I would just check, Janice, on that accumulation of grief. And when we have a current day loss, it sometimes reopens old wounds. And part of it is God calling us to take a different look at the pain that we've experienced in our life, to reprocess, to tell some of those stories over again, to shed some tears. And then we need to take the hope that we have for a person who's unwilling to change, and we have to transfer that to other healthier relationships with safer people, perhaps in a new sisterhood, in a group of women. If you're going to date other people, you transfer that hope to people that want to be in healthy relationship with you.
Well, and I think, Janice, I think... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I have an amazing group of friends and family that are godly and supportive, and they've been amazing through this whole journey. I guess the hardest part is that I have a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old, mm-hmm. and the
the treatment of me definitely affects the girls.
Yes.
And just the change in behavior and all of that stuff. It's caused so much hurt to my girls, and just trying to navigate that on top of keeping myself together, it's like it's a never ending. It's like wave after wave, and I can't catch my breath.
Yeah, and it's so important to do what you can so that they don't then in turn try and find somebody like their dad in their own personal life. That happens so many times when they try to fix that. Alice, what would you like to say about that?
Well, Denise, you might consider family therapy for you and your daughters if you're not already in it, because you're right. There's so much stirring inside of them, and they need an outlet to be able to talk about it. But it's tricky when you have an ex to draw out your children's feelings without maligning your ex-spouse, and I suspect you're very considerate of that and cautious about it.
Yes.
And I regularly use Mylan and Kay's comfort circle with my kids, where I ask what's happening in their hearts, how I've hurt them, how I've affected them, and I listen to them in that structured, safe format of the comfort circle, and it really helps with emotional resolution, even about things that we can't control or we can't change. But when we receive relational comfort, it can help metabolize the sorrow and the hurt that we feel on the inside about something that's out of our control.
That's good. Jim, you have anything you want to offer as far as the 13 and the 15-year-old?
Yeah, you know, Janice, as soon as you said 13 and 15-year-old, a couple of thoughts. One is some of the stuff that they're going through might not be about their dad or you. It might be that they're 13 and they're 15. Okay, because it's such a time of transition. It's such a time of finding their own identity, and it's such a time of, you know, sometimes drama and, you know, kind of figure it out. They're moving from dependence on you to independence, and during that process, you know, don't pile everything on the relationship with the dad, okay, or the ex. You know, I mean, your ex-husband. It might be stronger and even in your head than what it is in theirs. I find that a lot of times people will say, oh, no, it's all about the divorce. And frankly, no, they're 13. Okay. So make sure that you understand, you know, I would even suggest that you read a book on, you know, understanding a teen, just so you can begin to discern the difference between, well, this is normal adolescent behavior, and this is not, because of what, you know, dad is throwing at him or not. I'm not downplaying the fact that their father sounds like he's a draining person. I am saying that some of their reactions may just be they're 13, they're 15.
That's good. Good point. Good point. Well, you know, Janice, we will be praying for you. I'm going to send you a copy of Steve's book, Healing is a Choice, and I think that that could help you on your journey. You know, we're so grateful to be able to do what we do, whether it's New Life Live or many of our workshops that we do, our website, the podcast, all kinds of ways we are offering help and hope, and we couldn't do it without our financial support through Club New Life and through other donors who make it possible to help people find hope in their life and find transformation. I had a testimony just recently. It was an attendee from one of our Restore workshops, and she said, I came alone and broken. I had no hope. I had tremendous fear, anxiety, and nightmares. I had no tools and no idea what my future looked like. I'm going home with tools and a plan and a hope and a community around me. Thank you, New Life. And your giving makes that possible. And we just want to celebrate that. And if you want to give, all you have to do is call us, New Life, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can go to newlife.com and hit the donate button. But any way that you want to support life transformation, we appreciate it. It does make a difference in the lives of so many people. We are going to go to John, who's calling us from Falls Church, Virginia, listens on WAVA. Hello, John. How are you? And thanks for calling.
I'm fine. Thank you very much. I'm calling because I have some internal anger issues that I want to deal with. It has to do with betrayal trauma.
Okay.
And just to make it really quick, I'm a highly codependent person. And it turns out that as a highly codependent person, if I was a key, I went to the lock that I was looking to open up was, I'm in a narcissistic relationship with a woman for 46 years. in the last 5 or 6 years, things have come to light that are very kind of disturbing. One, it turns out that the day that we got married, she told her sister that we had an open marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out 2 years ago, she told me completely out of the blue that she was addicted to stranger sex. Mm-hmm. She only can have feelings, I guess, when the person she's physically involved with has no connection to her, and she finds that any connection with me is extremely distasteful to her. The other thing has been is that over the course of our married life, she has regularly told me that if she wasn't interested in a physical relationship with me, that I should find other women to have physical relationships with. And then the worst piece of it all is, in some ways, I've come to have to figure out, I have two grown sons, and I actually don't know for sure whether either one of them is actually mine.
Gosh, John, that's a lot. That is a lot. Well,
yes. Oh, and I was sexually abused by my father from ages 3 to 5.
Oh,
and I was raised in a household in which my father was taken to a slave labor camp during the Second World War, and he ran his entire household like it was a slave labor camp. So we were beaten, starved, you name it.
So you've had a lot of trauma, John, is throughout your whole entire life. I want to ask a question before we go to Jim and Alice. Have you received any counseling or help over your lifetime for any of the things that you've just talked about?
Yes. I've been in therapy probably 8, 9, or 10 times. The last couple of 3 times I've gone have been dealing with some of these deeper issues. It's been less successful. So part of the issue, people say, well, how can you put up with this long? It turns out that one of my coping mechanisms was to dissociate while all this childhood stuff was happening. And all the stuff that was happening in my marriage, I dealt with in the same way. I just kind of dissociated. Mm-hmm. The issue was 3 years ago, I ended up getting rear-ended. And the TBI I got did something very interesting. All of a sudden, I was incapable of dissociating anymore.
That's interesting.
So all these things that always felt weird. So anyways.
I was just going to say, John, what is the best way that we can help you today? It sounds like you are really aware and insightful in the struggles that you've experienced, but we want to help you. And what is the best way that we can help you today?
Well, so one of the issues that I have is that it's really disconcerting to sometimes end up feeling completely enraged by what's going on, realizing, of course, that I actually played a part in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I would have picked up on the 5,000 red flags in the first 3 weeks of being with this woman, I would have solved all my problems.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm stuck with facing her stupidity and mine, and it's a really highly unpleasant situation to be in.
You can hear the music, John. We'll come back to your question after the break. You know, we have talked many times on the show about regret. And I think sometimes we can feel regret even when we've been victimized, even though that's not, you know, the right place for it, but it's just part of that experience. And that's what I hear, you know, as you look back over your lifetime with your wife. But it's amazing what happened in the car accident. And I just, you know, there's lots of facets that we're talking about, but when we get back, Alice and Jim, I know that you can help him, and we'll look forward to hearing from both of you in maybe some next steps that John can take so that the future will be better. And we'll be right back after this break.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We were just talking with John, who's had a history of so much pain and disruption. But Alice and Jim, what would you like to offer John so that he can get moving in the right direction?
Well, I know he's off the air, but my question would have been to him, why did you stay so long? There's something about that. I mean, there's part of that, you know, when we stay in a incredibly dysfunctional relationship, you know, there's a reason. And I'd like to know, you know, part of what that is. I would say to him a couple things, Becky. I would say one is he may still even be thinking he lived in a really dysfunctional home. And it's whenever somebody is sexually abused, it's not their fault. It's the fault of the abuser. Mm-hmm. And if he's taken on any of that stuff, he's got to be freed from that because it and he's got to be able to, you know, find hope and healing and health through that process. Mm-hmm. But I would simply say this relationship is really toxic. And so what's caused a lot of his trauma is, you know, a very toxic relationship. And I would be talking to these therapists that he's, you know, dealing with. I'd be talking to them and asking them, what would it look like if we, if I separated? Would that give him some freedom? Mm-hmm. He definitely has biblical grounds for that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the question, the only other question I would bring up, and I'm interested to see what Alice thinks, but, you know, the other, if he wanted to, I mean, it's pretty easy today to, you know, go to, you know, ancestry.com or whatever the other ones are and find out if that's of need. I you know, you might, he may not want to find out if those are his sons, but they are his sons. Mm-hmm. They call him dad.
Yeah.
And he loves them.
Right.
And that's not going to change. I was telling Alice, we, you know, our daughter, our oldest is adopted. And so she's not a part of our DNA, but hey, I'm her dad and she's my daughter. And,
that's right.
You know, it doesn't change anything. So I don't know how he would feel about that, but those would be some practical ways. But honestly, I would walk through with a counselor, what would it look like if we, you know, separated?
Right.
And because, again, he is in a toxic relationship. Maybe he gets the award for the most toxic relationship we've talked about today.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Alice, how about you?
John, if you don't address your rage, it will leak out or explode somewhere. And it might make you physically sick. I'm sure you've already feel an emotional sickness, but it might come out in violence or aggression somewhere, somehow. And that rage is a righteous anger. It makes me think of Jesus in the temple when he went in and he turned over those tables and he threw the money on the ground because he said, not in my Father's house. And we have to do that sometimes for our spiritual house and our literal house of this does not work for me in my home. And that's taking a stand against the toxicity and the sin that your wife is bringing into your marriage and into your household. But I understand that as a codependent, it can feel impossible to consider that you are a person apart from your wife. And so you may have to work on first building up an identity apart from your wife so that you can even consider taking such a strong stand because it might mean losing her. But if you don't address that rage, it will cause you so many more problems, and it probably already is.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are so glad that you called, John. And if you hold on, we can connect you with a counselor. Because sometimes we need to do new counseling.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that the old counselor was bad. It's just a new day, new awareness. We're going to send you a copy of the Life Recovery Bible as well. And I, you know, it is a recovery process. But now we only have a few minutes left, but I did want to get to your call. TJ, you're calling us from Dallas, Texas, listens on KWRD. Thank you for waiting for such a long time, but we're glad you are here. How can we help you?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My call is kind of like the other way. It's just I have so much anger at my husband, and he's going through a mental crisis right now, and I should have compassion, and I should have grace, and I'm just so incredibly angry, and I just don't know how to deal with it. So
okay. All right. And then what is the mental crisis that he's going through, TJ? Give us a little bit more insight on that.
Okay. Well, this is where I just get so disgusted, and I know I sound awful. He's had two affairs in the past, and so I know a lot of this is coming back up. We separated for a year. He's gone through every man's battle. He's really changed like that. But he, about a year ago, he had it's through his work, and it gets stressful, and he's very successful. He's very well at his job, but the first time, I guess it was last year, one of the bosses was a woman, and basically I think she criticized him or something, and he like couldn't take it, and so he just had like this mental breakdown, and then he thinks his heart's, and he goes through and he does all these tests when he's fine, and so he gets on all his medication, he sees a psychiatrist, and so he goes along okay. Well, now he's at another where the job gets a little stressful, and so he's now having another, you know, mental breakdown, and, you know, sabotaging himself really bad with his work. But even that, if he wants to change, you know, just change. But everything I say to him, I know he just wants me to be there and love on him and support him. And mm-hmm. instead, it's like I've almost turned into him. And okay. I'm like, well, you can do these different things, you know. And anyway.
And TJ, if you made a statement about your anger, I'm so angry that, yeah. or I'm so angry because, how would you fill in the blank?
I am so angry because he is having this crisis, and, you know, I put the little quotations, this crisis, because I feel like it's, I mean, I know it's really mental. I know it really is. You know, he is really having a mental thing. But it's like if something came up right now that he wanted to do or whatever, he'd be fine. You know, I really do. If he, you know, he's got this trip that's supposed to possibly come through. If that came up, he would be fine as anything.
So TJ, I think you're feeling a mix. I think you're feeling a mix of current day anger and historical anger. And I would guess that there was not sufficient attention paid to the harm he caused you with those two betrayals and probably other ways that he also hurt you. And I hear you minimizing or judging your own anger. I should have compassion. I should feel this way, but I don't. I feel anger. And I think you'll need a period of allowing your anger and digging into why you are so angry, because it's what you said, but there's more to it as well. You need to have permission to be angry, because when we process our anger, when we express it, we figure out why and what we need in our anger. And so I want you to start thinking, I have legitimate reasons to be angry, and I'm going to figure out what those legitimate reasons are. And then you
That's
express those needs to your husband.
Very good. Jim, you get the last word as we come up to the end of the show.
Well, TJ, Alice is right. And you know, a lot of times, typically, anger is a secondary emotion. So what we always have to do is, if we're angry, we have to go, why are we angry? And if you do that work, you may be surprised that you still got a whole lot of anger, maybe rightly so, mm-hmm. for him betraying you. And so it may not have as much to do with his mental stuff as it has to do your. And I'm not thinking about him right now. I'm thinking about your anger. It's probably the secondary emotion. So find out what's the cause of it. And then when you work on that in your own life, that's going to help you. And it's not going to leak out. But you got to work through that yourself. And when you do that, that's when we find freedom.
Yeah, and you know, the betrayal trauma, we know, has ripple effects. And so even though he's struggling with a mental challenge, the inconsistency that you're talking about, TJ, where if he's got something he wants to do, he'll do it, and then if it's a bad thing, he won't do it, that is triggering some of those unresolved wounds. And we want to get you help. We're going to send you a copy of Sherry Keffer's Intimate Deception. I think it'll help you understand what is beneath the anger that what Jim and Alice are talking about. We're so glad you called, TJ. And, you know, if it's not one thing, it's another, right? That's what we're here for, is we want to help you get the help that you need. And so if you heard something today that, you know, just reminded you of a struggle that you're in, give us a call. You don't necessarily have to call the radio program, although we love when you do. You could call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We've got resources, we've got counselors, we've got ways for you to get help. Thank you again, Alice and Jim, and I'm so grateful for both of you. I hope all of you have a great day.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.